Chapter 1
Guilty.
Guilty? I said, then turned to my lawyer Jorge, unable to comprehend what was happening. Did he just say guilty? Jorge leaned in and whispered,
Now, Chad, don't make it worse.
Worse than guilty of murder? I asked, my heart thudding in my ears. Fuck you! I turned to the judge, already wishing I wasn't saying the words as they left my mouth, but unable to stop it from happening. And fuck you, too! This wasn't happening. I wasn't standing here, shouting at a judge and my lawyer, cussing them out while the jury that had just decided my fate watched on. Only, it was. And now those sons of bitches felt vindicated, surer of their decision than ever simply because I used the words fuck and you. And because I was losing my shit. Rightly so. Who the hell wouldn't if they were just found guilty of a murder they didn't commit? Fuckheads with batons and guns had me, dragging me from the courtroom as I shouted, spittle spraying from my mouth. I think my arms were flailing, and I might have even hit one of them, and then I remembered something about the death sentence coming my way. Or maybe it was life. I didn't care. Neither one of them was acceptable, because I was innocent. The worst part? I knew the killer. Considering the fact that he was my brother, yeah, you could say I knew him quite well. Though we'd drifted apart since he went off to the military. I'd been on my way back to the office when I saw Drew, ran over to ask what he was doing in town, and followed him into the bank. I scanned the room, spotted him lunging into the path of some girl as a larger man shot some sort of blast her way. My only thought at the time was that my brother was being the typical hero and was going to die for it. Only then he'd stepped forward and slammed his hand into the man's chest, an act that had blasted the guy to bits. Or so we assumed, as there hadn't been a shred of the man left. There might have been a flash of light, an image of a woman reaching for Andrew before he vanished. It happened so fast, even I wasn't sure I believed that part. There was no way I'd give him up in this, but it wasn't just loyalty. Sure, I'd have my eyeballs pulled out and replaced with my balls before giving him up because he was blood. But my refusal to rat him out also had to do with the fact they'd tell me I was insane. Whatever had killed that other man, it hadn't been a simple gun or bomb or whatever they were trying to say I'd used. I saw that blast of energy come from my brother and nearly pissed myself. Oh, okay, there was a trickle of piss for sure. And then he was gone. My brother was gone. 1 minute I was there, staring at my brother with a slack jaw and a bit of pee in my boxer briefs, and the next, he was nowhere in sight, and everyone was pointing at me, shouting, screaming, and it was chaos. And it all led to this moment, this horrible nightmare that had resulted in days of a court trial, eyewitnesses pointing at me and saying I'd done it, and me having no argument except for the truth. Truth, as it was clearly proven, didn't mean a damn thing. If you've ever been sentenced to death or life in prison for a crime you didn't commit, you'll understand me when I say that what followed was all a blur. All I really remember was the hallway spinning, a pounding on the right side of my head, and multiple trips to the bathroom, mostly to vomit. It was like the feeling you get when someone takes a baseball bat to your nuts, and you know one of those testicles just died, never to return? Now, imagine that, but never stopping. Well, then take the opposite of that. What's the opposite of that, you ask? I'll get there soon. Suffice it to say, I went from an extreme low to an extreme high very quickly. My head cleared in the transport bus, me on my way to spend the rest of my life in prison. We were just turning down Central, an odor like burnt toast in the air, when shots sounded and the driver swerved. I remember seeing a rocket launcher and then recognizing a face from the truck next to us, Lenny, one of my adopted dad's associates, and then the explosion started. Best I could figure, this was my escape. Somehow, people involved with my dad were trying to break me out, which didn't make sense in any way, but when the bus went flying in the air, tipping over and about to slam me into the concrete, I knew they were failing. Whoever was trying to break me free had just killed me. And then it happened. The moment that would change me forever. When I say change, I mean fucking change. Concrete was coming up fast, that damn smell of burnt toast growing stronger, and I noticed that my feet were asleep. Or maybe I was having a stroke or something, because then it felt like my ass was asleep, and a second later, the side of my face. Do asses fall asleep when you have a stroke? Hell, at the time I had no idea what was happening. But then the crash came, and blackness. It wasn't death. I knew that much. There was too much pain for that to be the case. And yet, it wasn't the sort of pain you'd expect from a crash. It was like someone had pulled out my soul and then jammed it back inside me again. At least the smell was gone. Only now, there was something in the air that made it feel sparse, with a cold staleness to it. My body was so cold. When I looked around, I saw gray metal walls. No windows. I was on the floor. The floor was also metal, and I was... Holy shit, I was completely nude. Yeah, lying on a metal floor without any clothes would definitely explain why I was cold. Where the hell are my clothes? My muscles ached as I pushed myself up, yelping as my balls touched the cold floor. At least that act helped me to stand faster. Now that I was standing, I got a good look at myself and saw no injuries. I blinked, arching my back to look behind, but saw nothing out of the ordinary, just my ass and legs. Bare ass, mind you. No matter how hard I thought, I couldn't understand why they would rescue me from that crash and then throw me into prison, naked. I mean, at least a robe or whatever they use in hospitals, right? I'd have preferred an orange jumpsuit, really. Some kids in high school had started a cool kids club where orange jumpsuits were the thing, so I could get into that. But no, the only thing in this room was me, my oddly hard cock, and my nude ass. No bed, no toilet, nothing but walls, a ceiling, a floor, and the door. Hey! I shouted, doing the only logical thing and pounding away on it. What kind of perverted ass ear-fucking prickstick takes a man's clothes like this? I pounded again, then took a step back and glanced around, figuring there must be cameras in here. Some way those sick fucks were getting off on this. Nothing. Except something forming in the corner. Small at first, emerging from the metal like a little ball, and then expanding until it became the size of my fist, like a small metal orb floating there. I cocked my head, confused, and glanced around. Next, I covered my crotch. I've had enough of this.
Unfortunately, we're just getting started,
a voice said. I blinked, trying to decide if that had actually happened. With a glance back to the door, I contemplated the idea of someone out there speaking. Or maybe it was through a speaker in the room, but I saw nothing.
You'll have your answers soon enough, but we need to move, the voice said.
It was calming, distant, yet there with me. Coming from the metal ball, I considered. Whoever you are, I started to say to the ball, only I stopped as a laugh responded.
Don't talk to the ball. It makes you look crazy,
the voice said.
I'm communicating through your head, and as I mentioned, we don't have much time. My associate has been able to get you help, at least until we figure out what your powers are. Do you accept?
The hell? Do I accept what? With a sigh, the voice said,
Do you accept our help? Without it, there's no way you're getting out of there.
Well, it doesn't leave me with much choice, except that I don't know where I am. Silence followed then.
It's better if you see for yourself. But first, you have to leave that room. Last chance, or we send you back. Do you accept?
With a lick of my suddenly dry lips, I steeled my nerves, swallowed my desire to answer with another fuck you, as I had recently grown accustomed to doing, and said, I accept. The ball opened up before me, projecting a screen of light, and it said, Level 1. Moniker, none. Status, civilian. Special powers, none. Notes, no clothes. Select wardrobe. Is this thing asking me to select clothes? I asked.
Just select the option. You'll see,
the voice replied. I was getting spooked, but the emotion wasn't as strong as my desire to get out of there and find out what the hell was happening. So, I reached out and touched the screen. It was more like touching air, but the selection was highlighted, and several outfits popped up. Most of the options looked like battle armor, another one was a suit, and then finally the one I was looking for.
A t-shirt and pants?
The voice asked. Yes, please, I said, and hit confirm. Oh, and underwear? The metal shimmered, changing colors, and then came at me. I tried to dodge, stumbling back, conking my head on the wall, and then the ball had me. I don't know what I'd expected, but it wasn't for the ball to hit me and start morphing. It slid across me like liquid metal, and I opened my mouth to scream, then quickly closed it, as I remembered all those movies where the liquid metal goes into the person's throat and then the eyes. Luckily, it stopped, and when I looked down, I was wearing a shirt and pants, or so it seemed. A quick touch showed it still had a sort of metallic texture, but had done a fairly good job of meeting what I thought of as clothes. It almost had a spandex feel. I checked, and sure enough, I was also wearing a pair of gray boxer briefs.
When you want to change, just tell us and we'll make it so,
the voice said. Us? Us who?
No time for that, but soon. Now, go to the door.
I glared at nobody in particular, wondering if I was going to have a heart attack at the fact that a metal floating ball had just attached itself to my body in the form of clothes, and I was hearing voices in my head. For now, I was surviving, and even the headache had gone away.
We're adjusting your heart rate, or trying to,
the voice said.
Doing our best with compensation methods built into your biotech suit.
Oh, I said, all the pieces coming together. Okay, not at all, actually, but at least I'd heard of biotech and the like. Clearly, I was in some sort of privatized prison I hadn't been aware of. Maybe a new test subject or something?
It can't form weapons or anything like that, but working with you as a conduit and through your mind, we're able to help it do the simple moves, like this fake clothing.
You're not in my mind, I protested.
Chad, you'll have to trust us for now. Just believe me when I say we need you as much or more than you need us.
I scratched my head just behind the ear, trying to make sense of all this. The biotech clothes were very comfortable, almost as if they weren't there at all.
Now, go to the door,
the voice said.
There's at least one prisoner on that planet who we believe will join the fight. You need to get to her, convince her to fight, and then see if you can find others.
Fight? I mean, I guess a prison break isn't a bad idea, considering my sentence otherwise, but...
No,
the voice said, for the first time growing frustrated.
Listen, we know you didn't kill that man. It's much more complicated than you realize. The quick version is that the man was a supervillain, one with plans against Earth, just as he and his associates moved against us and the Citadel. Another supervillain has just taken over the living prison ship that you're now on, and we're relying on you to form a team to stop them.
My head was spinning again, the urge to puke rising up.
Trust us,
the voice said.
Go for the door, now!
With that, my hands clenched into fists and I spun, throwing myself against the door, and heard it click a split second before I reached it. Metal pulled back, clipping me slightly in the shoulder as I stumbled past, and then I was out of my cell, in a hallway with numerous metal beams and arched glass far overhead. And past all of that, where maybe I'd expected to see the stars or a blue sky, I was able to make out what looked like a fluorescent green planet off in space. For a moment, it blinked out, and then I realized it was because a spaceship was flying past, and I nearly fainted.
Chad, you aren't on Earth. You are here, with us. You've accepted the charge. Now pull yourself together and do exactly what we say, or you will die. Do you understand?
I gulped, clenched my hands into fists, and said, "Point me to him."
Her,
the voice corrected.
The prisoner is a female, one they call Charm. She's your only hope to make this work, so try to make a good first impression. If you make it, that is.
Just point me in the right direction, or shut up. A moment's silence followed then.
Glad to have you on board, Chad. You're going to go straight, then through the first door on your left. Can you handle that?
I was getting pissed, and more devoted to getting some answers, so when I replied, it was firm. Solid. Fuck yes I can, I said, and then took off at a sprint. It was go time.